Welcome to the new episode of She Gets It Done. Make sure to hit subscribe, comment or like. We hope you love this week's episode. Enjoy!
Welcome back to our podcast, She Gets It Done. I am Laura and my co-host Sana is here today. We are going to get straight into it. And today we want to talk about life with a reactive dog. So what is it like to live with a reactive dog and some pointers of things you can change or things you can do to cope with that.
That's it. I think living with a reactive dog can be really lonely. And no one, well, I shouldn't say no one. There's definitely people that get a reactive dog on purpose. but I feel like those are more the people that know what they're getting into or that love a project dog. And I feel like we're not really addressing them. I feel like this podcast is really for people that get a dog and it doesn't turn out to be what they thought it was going to be and having to live with a reactive dog and the choices that come with that.
I think it's a good point to separate both types, because it's true that, yeah, some people are into saving or like helping and take on a dog that's already reactive. So they're already kind of prepared of what mm-hmm. they're going to do. But yeah, in my career, I have encountered quite a few people that didn't know that it was going to turn out that way. And I think that's really the first step to, you know, be able to live with a reactive dog is accept that, okay, your dog is probably not the dog you expected to have. So maybe instead of trying to shape the dog into the dog you wanted to have, let's see if we can sort of shape our life
that around the dog.
The dog better. Yeah. Not completely. Like, I'm not all for like changing your entire life for your dog, but maybe there's a compromise in there that we can reach.
And that is such a big adjustment though. Like, I went through that myself and I feel like there is parts to that. Like, you first you have to accept, okay, my dog is reactive and I have to put a lot of work in. And then there is that whole part of like, you get a dog because you want to take him out to places and you want to take him to friend's house and you want to go coffee and you want to go to a park and a beach and just watch all the dogs play, right? Like, that's what we all want. And then you get this dog that's either afraid of everything or it's aggressive at other dogs or people. If you have a people aggressive dog, your life becomes really, really small. And I think it's a lot of adjustment to even get from, okay, I have a reactive dog, to accepting my dog will never be a park dog or it will never be a coffee dog. Or, you know, like, I feel like there's a really big gap in between those. And I don't know about you, but I'm on quite a lot of reactive dog Facebook pages, like support pages. And I feel like there are still so many dog owners, reactive dog owners, that haven't reached that point of acceptance yet of your dog is just never going to be a dog that you take to a playground and sit next to you while the kids are playing. Or it's never going to be the dog that you let off leash and he'll be okay with dogs running up to them, you know? And I feel like that's a really hard point to get there, really.
And it's not like, okay, let's throw the towel right away and be like, oh, okay, we're never going to be able to do anything with this dog. But I think if your goal is to have taken your dog everywhere and to like busy places, and you can clearly see that it's not compatible with what your dog is like experiencing or living. Step one to me is to change your expectations. Like, okay, you thought you and your dog were going to go to cafes and dog parks and the beach and playgrounds or whatever. And clearly that's mm-hmm. not working. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that to jump straight into, okay, your dog will never do that. but change that perspective, change your goal, like, because otherwise it's going to be like years and years of you being frustrated that you can't do the things with your dog. Yeah. So if you change your perspective to your expectations to, okay, but my dog loves hikes and I need to lose weight. Let's go on hikes then, you know, and start doing things that are more suitable to your dog. Start taking your dog places where they can have an enjoyable time, where they can find peace. And if your dog finds peace, and if you manage to have a walk where your dog doesn't react because, I don't know, there was no one there, then that's success. That's your whole mind changing, because now your dog discovers that there are things you can do that don't require, you know, massive blow-ups and you getting stressed and you getting all like that.
Yeah, I think that's a huge mindset change, because I think most people buy a dog thinking, oh, it's going to be like a whole social something, yeah. You know, like I'm going out with my dog and I get to meet new people and we get to hang out with each other. Whereas, for example, when I walk my dogs, it's my mission to find the most deserted places I can, because those are the places I love. Like, I don't want to be where other people are. And that's not like Zelda's not reactive at all. And Lennox is very good now that he's six, at coping with other dogs, except if they run right up at him. But I really get a kick out of it if I can find a park and I can't see anyone. Or I go to a beach at a certain time, maybe when it's drizzling, and the whole beach is empty. And I'm just like, yes, we got the whole beach to ourselves. Like, for me, that's like a first prize. I'm like, yes, we won environment today, you know? It's like, and if I go on a busy day and I see people on the beach, because, I mean, I live surrounded by beaches, right? So that's why I like to say beach so often. But when it's a busy, sunny day, and we drive past the beach and I just see 10, 20 dogs, people picnicking, walking. To me, that's like a nightmare. I look at it. I wouldn't come with that. I would never go there. It's like, I just don't enjoy that. And I feel like that's probably an adjustment that a lot of people have to make. I remember you having a client that, you told me about that you really had to change that mindset of like, go and find the empty parks. That's the best spot to be.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's the solution for every reactive dog. In my case, it was a solution for some people because they tried a lot of things and they really wanted to do this coffee thing with their dog. And I mean, they were so set into thinking that, you know, having a good life with their dog was to be able to take their dog to a cafe because that's what they usually do, that it's like you put the blinders on, and then like once you are set into that, okay, that's my goal with my dog, but clearly it's not working, then they just didn't see that there were other possibilities, you know. And in some of my clients' cases, the just coming to term with that, like seeing like, oh, okay, so my dog will never go to a cafe, but that doesn't mean my dog has a bad life. They found another way, like the way is me. I walk one of these dogs twice a week just because I'm able to do these things with the dog. No, I don't go to a cafe with the dog, but I take the dog hiking. I take the dog in fun places. I take the dog out with friends, dog friends. And that's enough. And the dog has a really nice, fulfilled life. And the owner is very happy with that, you know. So that was a solution for that. It's not the solution for everyone. But I think the key for the owner to feel good and to feel better was to be like, oh, okay, my dog doesn't need to do this thing. Go to the cafe.
That's it. I think we're tiptoeing a little bit around the topic of avoidance and exposure. And I feel like we are very much, you need to train exposure. I don't know about you, but I would never say in a client session, just avoid everyone or go walk at midnight so you don't see anyone. I know there's trainers out there that do that, but that's not what we're saying. We're just saying change your perspective of what do you like and what does your dog like? Because for example, that cafe again, your dog probably doesn't like that activity. Like, it's boring. All they have to do is sit underneath a table waiting till you finish eating, smelling all the food but not allowed to do anything. Like, going to a cafe isn't that interesting for a dog. Yeah, so if your dog is not able to come, they're not going to be bummed, I'm pretty sure. Like, you know, maybe if they have severe separation anxiety, yes, but then that's a whole different problem. Right, but it's those tiny little things where we actually have to look at, who are we doing this for? Are we doing this for the dog? Are we doing this for you? Because do I want the dog to be able to not freak out when they see a dog when we're walking through a park? Absolutely, we need to work on that. But do I need to put that severely reactive dog in a cafe? No, unnecessary. Why put him through that stress? Or do I need to take him to Bunnings or a Home Depot or a Mitre 10? Like, why are people pushing their reactive dogs into those spaces for the sake of what? Why does your dog need to come and buy a bucket with you? Like, go and buy the fucking bucket by yourself, right? Like, I just don't get that. And I mean, it's your right, it's your total right to practice that, but then if the dog explodes, you have that setback and you feel down again and people looked angry at you because you brought that barking, lunging, aggressive dog in store. Like, it was totally unnecessary. You put your dog through stress for something that wasn't really needed. I think that's how we look at it.
But this what you were saying brings us to the stigma, yeah, of having a reactive dog. And I think that it comes from two things. One, why do we try to go to Bunnings, buy that bucket with the dog? Because it's been like put in society that the perfect dog goes everywhere with their owner. And so we all want to have that perfect dog. So we all try really hard to do all these things with our dogs.
True.
So that's where, yeah, and we're, it's kind of like being peer pressure. Like, yo, if you didn't bring your dog to Bunnings, are you even a good owner? Do you even have a good dog? Why can't you bring your dog to Bunnings? You know, so that's where if you are a reactive dog owner, I think it's very important to really let go of all of that, Oh, I should do whatever. Yeah, the pressure. Yeah. I should do what other people are doing. I will be a good owner when my dog is able to come with me, or the other thing of like, oh my God, my dog is reacting. Everybody's looking at me. Everybody hates me. Shit, shit, shit. And then you panic. Yeah. So that's also detrimental.
I think that's a really important one to talk about, because I think online, I see it heaps online, and I get it a lot in my client sessions as well, that people feel really bad when their dog is reacting because they worry what the environment, the other people are thinking or saying. You know what? Fuck them. Just try to think in your head, I will never see you again. I am on my own journey. It doesn't matter what this random person says, or that someone feels the need to whisper, oh my God, that dog is awful, or they need to train their dog more. Just fuck them. Forget about it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what they say or what they think, or the people like you had like a few weeks ago, that old lady recommending to bite the dog ear to make it listen. Like, what even?
Yeah.
Good story.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it's very easy to jump into these things because I'm going to bring up my mom topic here. I have a child with autism, and I hate comparing both, but this made me really, really good at this, really good at like saying fuck off to people that are looking at us funny. Yeah. So that's why I have this very good training of that. But to me, it's very important. Like, you have your dog there and you went too close, or someone came too close to you and your dog is like acting like a dickhead and going all those things. And you're like really struggling to put your dog into position. And then someone standing there is going to be like, oh, you shouldn't be here with your dog. And you know what happens? And you feel small. You feel like you want to cry. You feel like fucking hell, this is hell already, and now they're throwing stones at me, you know? So this is why it's very important to me. As a dog owner of a reactive dog, you need to, like, you know, bubble up, cover yourself. Yeah, like, don't worry. Like, if you are dealing with your dog having a really big fit, blank out everything else. Worry about your dog. Stay calm. Get out of there, like, as soon as possible. Put yourself out of that situation. And like you said, these people are irrelevant to you and your life. They're not going to help you in your journey. They're not going to give you good advice. They're not going to support you in any kind of way because they were already not. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
Yeah, really, it's easy to say and less easy to do. But really, like, don't worry about what people think. If your dog was wearing a muzzle and that makes you feel bad because, oh my God, they're all judging me.
I have that dog. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They can judge you all you want, all they want, because at the end of the day, you're the one doing the right thing. You're the one working with your dog, and you're the one keeping your dog safe and the community safe. So everybody else can just go and think whatever they want to think. It's not going to change anything.
That's it.
So that's a good step, and it's, yeah, easier said than done, but it matters, because the moment you stop caring about what other people think, then you're more in tune with yourself, and then your dog can feed on that.
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to say that, because the more worked up you get, the more embarrassed you're going to get. All the communication breakdown that happens with your dog is just going to get worse, because all you think is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then your dog is going to just join that little roller coaster of emotions with you. Yeah. And again, it's not that easy to turn that off.
In my beginnings of, as a dog walker, I got a lot of like comments from people, and I got really worked up. And my first reaction was to react as well and to be like, yeah, fuck off yourself, shut up, you know? And like, that's not helping either. We all want to do it. And sometimes it feels good to do it, but I do not recommend doing it, because what's happening when you respond to someone's negative with a bigger negative is that your dog is watching and is feeding into that too. So yeah, it's my technique now is to really be like, okay, you don't exist to me. Let me deal with my dog. I'm getting out of here. And I don't care what you're saying, because I'm not listening. So yeah. But sometimes it feels good to, like...
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, but it's not the best solution.
Definitely. I think that really ties in nicely with that living with a reactive dog as a person causes reactivity on your end too. Like, in the end, when you live with a reactive dog, it's not just the dog that gets reactive. It's you as well. And I don't like to use the word trauma, because I feel like that should be reserved for more severe cases, or PTSD, because I'm not a doctor that can diagnose that, or a psychologist. But you do get PTSD responses when you have a reactive dog. You know, like, I hear it all the time, people, or you see it, you know, the moment you see a dog, you just go. Like, and it even happens with me now, even though I know that Lennox is really solid now. But if I'm on an empty field and I see another dog, I will still go like, I better leash him straight away.
Yeah.
Even though I know that he's making the right choices, but it is a response from what has happened in the past. Whereas if I'm with another client's dog, I don't have that. Yeah, because I have that confidence, like, now we can manage this. So, like, I think it's good to hear that even dog trainers have that feeling of, like, oh, we better be careful. Or when was it? I think it was a while ago. I was training with a social dog. It was a super social dog. And we took the dog somewhere with the owners, and off-lead dogs came running at us. And my response was, like, no, we got to block everyone. And it was, like, no, this dog is fine. And I was like, holy shit, is this what it's like to have a non-reactive dog? You don't have to worry about any of this. So it's just, you just walk and you're like, yeah, life is good. So I feel like that response is something that people probably don't realize that it's an actual thing. And I'll link this Instagram account, Handlers and Humans, I'm pretty sure. And she's actually a psychologist that specializes in dog ownership with reactive dogs and helping dogs and dog trainers. So I'll link her later. Yeah.
It becomes a reflex. I think that's the, to me, that's the word that comes to mind, is the reflex. Like, I was a dog walker of reactive dogs mainly for a very long time. And I get exactly what you said. Like, sometimes I'm now walk dogs that don't have reactivity issues, that are really social, and I still have that, oh my God, some dog is coming, you know? And it's like, no, I don't have to worry. The dog that's coming clearly is friendly because I can read the other dog. Yeah. My dog is friendly. I don't know why I'm reacting this way. So yeah, if you're a dog owner and you're not into dog training or dog psychology or anything, it's totally understandable that if at some point some shit happened with your dog and your dog got attacked or your dog bit another dog or you got all of that, it's totally normal to feel like, fuck, this is going to happen again, you know? So
agreed. And I think that's why it's so unhelpful when trainers say, just be less stressed or your anxiety goes down the leash. I'm like, yeah, I get that. I can't just turn it off. Like, teach me then what to do. Like, that's what I love about not to, like, what's the saying? Toot my own horn. That's it. Not to toot my own horn. but what I love about my reactive dog classes is that often the dogs are still reactive at the end, obviously, because nothing major is going to change in just 5 weeks. But what changes the most is the owner. The confidence of being able to handle and the faith in themselves of, oh, this is what I do when that happens. And that changes so much in a dog's reactivity. And that helps them to not feed the anxiety down the leash.
Yeah. And it's like that, like, you're allowed to be afraid. You're allowed to feel anxious about what's going to happen. But what you can add to that, because you can't get rid of those, and it's the same for your dog, but what you can add is your own training, your own techniques, your own handling, like better your handling, better your way out. Like, some people that I work with, they don't even think there is a possibility of going out. Like, imagine you're going to walk past another dog and they're like freezing and the dog is like reacting, and then I tell them, well, just turn around and go away. And for some people, it's like a mind-blowing thing, like, oh,
you can do
because
that.
Yeah, because you thought you had to keep walking straight. No one's telling you you need to keep walking straight. You can totally turn around and like do something else and then come back to it, you know. And so sometimes it's just about giving solutions, giving strategies. Like, you have more strategies, then you can, and then your anxiety will start going down because you have those strategies.
Yeah, you know ways to deal with it. And I think that's like having management strategies, I think we should call them, because I do quite a few. I've got a few on YouTube as well. And I know there is this heaps of comments on there saying like, this doesn't solve reactivity. I'm like, yeah, I get that. But it'll help you manage so you have less blow-ups. Like, there's nothing wrong with you turning around or taking a sharp turn, or if you have to toss some treats on the ground so your dog is busy doing something else, because it just keeps the energy lower, I guess.
Yeah, and like, if you are living with a dog that is reactive, that's like, let's say, 10 years of your life
at least.
So if you're gonna make those 10 years that one walk a day a challenge because we need to get over this, well, you're gonna be tired after 3 months, you know. So just like, to me, if that's the dog you're gonna live with for a really long time, you can totally pace yourself. Like, unless you have an urgency to fix your dog because, you know, something's happened, otherwise just go smooth, you know. Like, yes, sometimes you need to train and challenge your dog and like keep walking up towards, you know, a better life, but also make your life livable, you know.
Yeah, but coming off that, I also think, well, you need consistency, right? Because consistency helps you improve, and progress is like this. It's not going to be straight up. Like sometimes you have a really good week and then suddenly we're all back to square one. Like that's completely normal. But what I do think that people need to look at is that if you just do what you always did and that isn't improving, then you need to find something else. Like I see that sometimes on the reactive support groups that people are saying, oh, I've been doing engage, disengage for a year now, and I can still not come closer to other dogs. Find a different method, because if you're doing the exact same thing for a year and things aren't improving, well, you need to find something else because it's not working. And I mean, you don't have to go fast, but no one wants to live with a reactive dog for 10 years, right? Like, they'd rather fix it. If you feel like you're stuck, find something else. And sometimes that means that you have to swap from maybe a force-free trainer to a balanced trainer that does correct the dog.
Yeah. Well, like in my case, for example, a few weeks back, I worked with a dog that was pretty young and started to become reactive. And so at the beginning, we went the force-free way, because this is always my first way, you know, like, okay, we're not going to, like, you know, punish the dog. We're going to try positive things. We did this, we did that. Eventually, the owner called me and she's like, no, this is not working. Like, I can't do this. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to toughen up a bit. And that's what we did. And I came with my spray bottle and my slip lead. And we worked on a different angle. And I was telling the owner, okay, so we tried the nice way. We tried rewarding good decisions, but that's not enough. So now we're going to punish bad decisions. And we went just that. And look, after three sessions, that was it. The dog was walking fine. We walked past other dogs. The owner was able, because if it's me, it doesn't count as much. Like, I was able to teach the dog, and then I was able to teach the owner. And yes, we went that way, and now they can walk. So there are other ways, you know. So the positive way was going to take a long time. For this dog, it didn't work. This owner wanted a faster solution, so we went that way.
I think you're right. Like, it's okay to want a faster solution sometimes. Like, faster doesn't mean bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, you tried that. Sorry,
sometimes
I did cut you off.
Yeah. Sometimes you just don't have the time. You know, you need the dog to behave. You need to be able to, you know, walk down your street. Sometimes you need to. It's the same with muzzle training. I muzzle trained a dog in a very positive way because we had the time, and the owner was very, very consistent, and she managed to train the dog to wear the muzzle. And there's another dog I worked with where I knew the owner wasn't going to be able to muzzle train the dog. So I did it myself, and I did it in one session, and that was it. And that's because it was urgent. Like, the dog needed that muzzle on that day. So I didn't go through the whole, you know, positive association. I just okay, you got to wear this, and that's how it's going to go down. So it just depends of how urgent your need is. There are solutions.
And I feel like we need to lift that stigma of using corrections on a reactive dog is not fair. Like, yes, your reactive dog might be afraid, but doesn't mean it can be a dickhead. And I feel like some dogs may be afraid, but others just learned, if I behave like this, something else happens. And we just need to be able to say, like, hey, this is enough now. Cut this out. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, shit. Okay, I guess I'll stop doing it then, because it's not worth it anymore. Like, I feel like with reactivity, it's so hammered in that a dog is fear reactive. And I feel like that's where the labeling comes in. Like, oh, I've got this fear reactive dog. So now we're just going to label everything on this dog as in, oh, it's okay, he does that because he's fear reactive. And he is this, and he's fear reactive. Oh, he does that because he's fear reactive. Like, I don't give a shit that you're fear reactive. You should not be chewing my house up. You should not be lunging after everything that walks. You should not do that. Like, we've said this before, that I'm afraid of needles, but I can't punch the doctor in the face. Like, you can be afraid, but you can't act on it all the time. And that So sometimes a correction is needed to say, like, now you're going too far. Stop doing that.
Yeah. And I think the important bit to note here is that for me, I'm always very tough on dogs that are reacting, because it's like me saying to them, oi, you can't act this way. I don't care what you're feeling right now. You can't act this way. But at the same time, it is super important to show the dog that we're not going to put them in danger, like, especially if their reactivity comes from fear. Like, let's say this dog is reacting because he's scared of other dogs. Well, I'm going to tell the dog to cut the shit out, but I'm going to show the dog that this dog is not going to come anywhere near you.
Exactly.
Because that's what the dog needs to see. If you're going to force your dog to shut up or to behave, and then you're going to bring your dog up to the other dog, that's unfair. That's totally unfair. You cannot do this to your dog. And to me, that's where it's important to know why the dog is reacting, or what is, like, what they're feeling. Because if it's a feeling of fear, or even if it's a feeling of hate, like, I hate you, I want to kill you. Mm. Either way, you're not going to go there. I'm not going to take you where you're scared, but you're going to behave. So yeah. That's where I think it's important to always still consider the dog's feelings in that way. Not consider the dog's feeling in terms of, oh, he's scared, so I can't correct him because he's already scared. No, consider the dog's feelings in terms of, he's scared of the other dog. I'm not going to make him go and see that other dog. I'm going to give him a better solution. I'm going to take him somewhere nicer, you know?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you, because that's how a dog learns to trust you.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dogs are reactive because they don't have faith in you to fix the problem, which is often the case, right? Like, no offense, but it's often the dogs that are reactive that then are being told to sit, and then the petting happens and the dog can't go anywhere. You're like frantically petting them, so the dog knows, like, you are clearly out of control, so I'll react more, compared to saying, you can do that and now I'm taking you out of this situation. And the dog's like, okay, cool, this makes sense to me. I don't have to do it because you're fixing the problem for me. And I do think that a lot of reactivity stems from lack of leadership between a handler and dog. Not lack of love. There's plenty of love, but leadership.
And again, expectations, because sometimes the reactivity comes from a misunderstanding from the owner's perspective. Like, they think their dog is reacting because they want to interact with the other dog. So they will, like, try to make them calm down, until when you calm down, you're going to get to say hello to this other dog. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's happened to me to hear the owner say, yeah, he just really wants to say hello to the other dog. And then me working with the dog, realizing that what the dog wants to do is go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just because of a misunderstanding, the owner would have thought that that's what the dog wanted. But their reactivity
Dogs move forward a lot. They lunge forward. It's interpreted as, oh, I want to go say hi. But that's just the dog being defensive, saying, like, if I do it first, the other dog might not do it. So if I get in, then I have the upper hand. It's like making the first move, really.
Okay, so to come back to the labeling thing, this is one to very close to my heart, because we hear it a lot with rescues and we hear it a lot with reactive. Yeah, my rescue dog, my reactive dog. So first, my word of advice to anyone that lives with a reactive dog is, peel off that label. When you talk about your dog to someone else, or when you type something about your dog on Facebook or on wherever you're typing about, don't say reactive. Try that. Try not to be like, my reactive dog this, my reactive dog that. Just say my dog. Your dog is your dog, whatever he is, because, you know, if it's reactive, if it's fearful, if it's happy, like, you never hear anyone say my happy dog.
It's a bit like manifesting, right? It's a bit like manifesting. Yeah. The more we say reactive dog, not saying it gets worse that way, but it's just ingraining. Whereas if we take that away,
It helps with the mindset change. You start with stopping mentioning reactive every time you talk about your dog or you think about your dog or you're dealing with your dog, just say your dog. Your dog does this. Okay, your dog is going to react. So your dog does these things. Your dog reacts, yes, but is not always a reactive dog. Like when you're at home and there's no one there, is your dog reactive? No. When you're walking in a path where there's nobody, is your dog reactive? Probably not. You know, so that's really something that is easy to get done. Start working on that. Work on the not saying reactive for everything.
And that way you also stop excusing a lot of behaviors just because of reactivity. And the same goes for rescue dogs. People love to say they have a rescue dog. Even it's been 8 years since they rescued the dog. It's like your dog is not a rescue dog. And like Zelda is a rescue dog. I got her at, I don't know, 13 or 14 weeks. She's 5 now. She's not a rescue dog. She's just my dog.
Yeah, same with Cherry. My dog Cherry was a death row dog. So I out-rescue you, all right?
You win.
And she's 9. And she's 9 years old. And I got her when she was 12 weeks old. And yes, I could have gone the path because she has a really sad, you know, fetal story. Like I can get my fetal out and talk about her. But no. Okay, so peel up that label.
That's it. And stop filling in shit. Like, you don't know what happened to the dog. I mean, you know how many dogs I've trained that were supposedly bait dogs? Or they were dog fighting ring dogs, or they were hit by men because they're afraid of men. Like, if you don't know the backstory, don't give them a sad sob story. Dogs live in the present. Just live with your dog now and go from there. I tell you, I'm not saying you shouldn't feel bad for your dog at all, but being stuck in that victim mentality isn't helping you or the dog.
Yeah. And even if something actually bad happened to your dog, which is much harder to do, move on, move on, move on, move on. Don't start your typing with my dog got attacked. No, my dog has this problem now. Yes, it got attacked before. Okay, but move on.
8 years ago.
Yeah. Your dog got beat 8 years ago. That's not why he's reactive now.
That's it. Well, we hope that this podcast helps you a bit. Feel more understood as a reactive dog owner. Maybe a few pointers where you can improve. This is a good chat to have. Like it's
And we see you. We see you, reactive dog people.
We definitely see you. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of She Gets It Done. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.